Hey, it's Flora. We asked you to call and tell us about your Valentine's Day gone terribly wrong. And you over-delivered. We've got a poisoning, an unseemly incident in a wax museum, a stabbing, and a crappy dare that did not end well. That's first.
I'm Candace, and this is me and my husband's first Valentine's Day fail. This was my current husband, my only husband, actually. Obviously, he wasn't my husband at the time. We'd been dating for 6 months. It's a big Valentine's Day date at our favorite sushi place. And I was super excited to actually have someone to spend it with.
And were you a big Valentine's Day person?
Oh, yeah. I love it. You know, you always get chocolate and presents, and I'm super into that and the romance and everything. So I was getting dolled up. And he shows up and he gives me my Valentine's gift. So I was like, well, hey, I'm still getting ready. So I'm going to go into my bedroom and finish my makeup. He's like, cool. And he was more than happy to sit in the living room and wait for me and hang out with my roommate. So I don't know what brought this up, but my husband told my roommate that he could light his fart on fire.
Your husband told your roommate that he could light his fart on fire.
Yes.
This is what they were doing while you were getting ready for Valentine's Day.
This is very on brand for him. So he is laying, I don't know if he was on the floor or on the coffee table. He was laying on his back on the coffee table, knees to ears.
Pants on or pants off?
Pants on. Right, Sam, pants on?
Pants on.
I'm hoping, yes, his pants are on. I'm tempted to let my husband tell the story.
I would like to hear his side of the story.
Hey, Sam.
Yeah?
Come tell your story.
Oh, okay.
We're going to have to do a child handoff. He's got our one-year-old in a backpack.
Hello?
Hey, Sam, tell me the story. Let her rip.
Okay, yeah, definitely. So, yeah, we've been dating for a while. I think I'd said I love you, but I really liked her, like head over heels with her. She was funny. She's very artistic. So yeah, I mean, we just hit it off really well.
And were you a Valentine's Day person?
Absolutely not. I hate Valentine's Day. But I really liked her. I mean, I knew she liked me, but I thought I liked her a lot more. So I was trying to really impress her.
Did you dress up?
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. I had my really nice jeans that had that really big, thick stitching. They were very, very tight. But then I had a really nice long sleeve button-up shirt. And then I had my cowboy boots with a nice belt on there. That's about as dressed up as I got back then.
Okay, so you're in your dress shirt and your cowboy boots. And you're on the coffee table saying to Candace's roommate, I can light my fart on fire.
Yeah, and he's just in disbelief. He's like, that's a myth. So I was like, dude, I could do this right now. And he's like, no, you can't. I was like, oh yeah, watch me. And so, yeah, I just like hiked my legs back and grabbed a hold of my knees and I got a lighter and I said, all right, you ready? He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I let it rip and it had that nice little poof, like kind of flame. It just goes real quick. And immediately I thought, oh, this isn't good. It was like a tiny explosion happened in between my butt cheeks. Not just a fart. It was definitely more. It was like a few paintballs went off in there. And I thought, oh my God. I was like, bro, I just shit in my pants. And he was laughing his ass off.
Could you hear this in the other room, Candace?
Nope. I was listening to music, putting on my makeup. I was probably trying on different heels.
You were like having a romantic pregame.
Yes. I thought they were just shooting the shit in the living room.
Well, they were. One of them was.
Yes.
So I kind of like did like the little sideways shuffle and like kind of was peeking in to see where she was and if she was done with her makeup or not. I had her roommate. I was like, dude, watch out, like stall for me if she comes out. And I was like, dude, I gotta use your bathroom, man. He's like, yeah, go. And so I went in there and I pulled down my pants. And first thing I did was like check to make sure it didn't go all the way through my underwear. And it didn't, luckily. It's like, oh, thank God. But my underwear were just trashed. And there's no coming back from this. So I took out my pocket knife and I cut my underwear off.
You cut your underwear off?
Yeah, because I was like, I was in a hurry and I didn't want to like have to take off my boots and like my pants and stuff. And I was like freaking out because I was like, shoot, I've got like my dream girl that I'm about to go on my first Valentine's date with. And I just shit myself. It took a while to get completely cleaned up. I was like double, triple checking, like kind of bending over, spreading eagle in front of the mirror just to make sure I got it all. I wasn't going to get it on my pants. And then just pulled up and went commando. And the whole time we were there, I was just thinking like how much my crotch and my butt itched. Like the whole date, but she never knew.
I never knew. I would have never known if he hadn't have thought it was so funny he had to tell me. I think he revealed it to me a month or so later. He was like, I've got to tell you. I got to tell you something. It's too funny to not tell you.
Candace almost peed herself when we told her.
I love this story because it feels very real. It's like actually probably what keeps relationships together, or story, you know, laughing about things like this rather than the pageantry of Valentine's Day.
Oh, I think so, sure. And I mean, I'm sure my wife would attest that that's more of our relationship than the pageantry.
Do you know what you'll do this year?
We'll probably go to a fancy restaurant. Maybe I'll make him go commando just for nostalgia. Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm sorry our first Valentine's Day was filled with poo.
This is Raina, and this is my cringy Valentine's Day story.
When was it?
So this was probably like around 2016, and I had been single already for quite some time, and I had gone on like 100 first dates, and very rarely did that lead to a second date. I was getting into a very desperate state of mind. All I wanted to do was connect with somebody. I just really just yearned to feel like, okay, maybe there'll be a date two, you know? So I had started eHarmony, I did match.com, nothing had come of it. And then suddenly I started a conversation with this guy. I, you know, finally felt like, okay, maybe there's something here. He was like looking for something and kind of mirror what I was looking for, some kind of connection. So we actually went to a sushi place not far from where I live. And one of the things that I thought was so peculiar was that he didn't care for food.
Uh-oh.
So that was just something that had my eyebrows like scrunch a little bit. And I was like, what do you mean you don't like food? He's just like, I don't like food. I just, you know, food is whatever to me.
Huge red flag.
Yeah, but at the time I was just so blind that I was just happy to be on a first date with somebody that I didn't hate. So I was like, this is going well. We then proceed to go on quite a few dates, like going on walks, sometimes cafes. And I was feeling good enough to even tell my friends, oh, I'm kind of dating someone. And everybody would, of course, want to know details because they were all like rooting for me to find somebody. And it was really great for me to go on a second and third date. I'm like already like, he's the one, you know? Now we're getting closer to Valentine's Day. And I remember being like, oh my God, it's so exciting that I finally get to have like a Valentine.
Were you a big Valentine's Day person?
No, I just didn't want to feel lonely on the day of love. And it felt exciting that I was beyond the first date and that I could finally have plans on that day with somebody that wasn't my brother or my best friend. So I saw that they have this really cool Ghostbusters thing at the Wax Museum. And he was like such a huge Ghostbusters fan. So I said, hey, you know, I really kind of want to do something for Valentine's Day. Would you be interested?
This is like the New York City Times Square Wax Museum.
That's correct. Madame Tussauds. So he was on board and I was like, awesome. I have a date for Valentine's Day. I'm only telling the whole world about it. I have on this really cute dress. I do my makeup, do my hair. And so I meet him and it's cold outside and I'm super excited. He's kind of like, hey, yo, what's up? And I'm like, I'm just like buzzing, you know? And we're really in there about 10 minutes. And then he's like, ooh, Kim Kardashian. She's got great boobs. And then he's like looking around and he's just like, do you think I could touch him? And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, yeah. Think I could touch him? I'm going to touch him. And then he like goes and grabs her boob.
He actually goes and cups the wax breast of Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. And then he's got the like the beady perv eyes going on. And then he's just like, yeah, like, you know, he's kind of making grunty noises and stuff. And I remember like moving on to like Scarlett Johansson. And as we're approaching, the floor was mostly empty, and except that now there's like a few kids coming. And he looks at her and he's like, yo, that's wifey right there. That's wifey. And he's just like, you think I should touch her breast? I was like, there are kids like right behind us. Maybe not. And he's just like, oh, like I had to like ruined his party or something. So now like we're moving on from like the main floor area to where they have the Ghostbusters waxes. And so at the time, the movie had come out with Kate McKinnon, Melissa McCarthy, like
Kristen Wiig, Leslie Jones.
Yes. So he was stuck on Kate McKinnon. Like he was just crushing on her so bad. And I had already been mortified with what had happened downstairs with the other people. So he gets up behind her and he doesn't cup her breast.
No, no, no.
But he starts to kind of get pelvic-y with it. Like he's behind her and he's kind of like, you can tell that he's pressing up against Kate McKinnon's wax figure.
Oh my God. What was going through your head?
I was so mortified. I was so disenchanted at this point with how this like Valentine's Day was going. I was over it. He went from being this sweet kind of guy to suddenly being really crass and really gross.
Yeah.
We did an awkward dinner afterwards where, again, he was just like, ugh, food, you know, I don't like it. Like, and I was just like, ew. I just knew when I left that place that this isn't the guy for me.
Did you go home?
Yeah, I did. I was not intending to spend the night with that weirdo. I think the moral of the story is to not lie to yourself. When you see signs that somebody is just not really compatible, take a beat to really, you know, allow your brain to talk your heart down a little bit and really assess the situation. Because I think that if I had just opened my eyes a little bit more, I think I would have seen that there were red flags from the beginning. Roses are red, violets are blue. If your boyfriend gropes wax figures, he's not for you.
After the break,
they ask if I want fire, ambulance, or police. And I said, I have no idea. I think we've been poisoned.
Don't go away.
My name is Lauren. And this is my original Valentine's Day story. I grew up in New Mexico, and this one year, this kid was like new to school. His name was Blake. He was so different than like everyone else I grew up around. I think he was from Texas because he had a really Texas drawl. And I was just like crazy for this guy. It was probably my first real crush kind of thing. I just loved it when he smiled, when he laughed. His whole face, it just lit up. We would always sit next to each other because we're organized alphabetically. And when I was able to make him laugh, I was just like, oh, like that made my day, you know?
What happened on Valentine's Day?
Oh, my school had a dance and they decorated the gymnasium. And like, I really wanted to go to the dance with him and he knew it. And he started picking on me, not in a malicious bullying kind of way, but in a way that boys do when they find out somebody likes them.
Yeah.
I just remember him like teasing me. Always teasing, but he had a smile on his face when he did it. I never told him, but I was thinking like, I really like you. How come you're being mean to me? And I have 7 siblings. So when someone says something to you, like you don't back down, you fight back. So we're sitting in class and he said something really mean to me. I don't remember exactly what it was. And I got my pencil and I stabbed him in the hand.
Oh my God, Lauren.
I know, I feel so bad about it now. And he got mad at me and he grabbed my hand and the teacher had to break it up.
Was he bleeding?
Oh no, he was fine. He was fine. And after that, he kind of kept his distance.
What happened with the dance?
They did the Valentine grams. You let the person know you want to go to the dance with them by sending them a gram. And I was just like hoping and praying, like, please let it be him. He didn't send me one. He sent a girl in our class one. And the day of the dance, my teacher told us, you know, whoever doesn't want to go to the dance can stay here in the classroom and do some arts and crafts. So I literally sat in the classroom, which was almost completely empty. I think there were like 3 of us. But yeah, I remember just making a heart for my mom. It just hurt so bad, you know, sitting alone the day of the dance. What's crazy is like, it actually influenced, like, I didn't date all throughout middle school or high school.
Really?
Yeah. When I graduated high school, 2 years later, I joined the Army. And after that, you know, people would ask me out, but I thought they were joking.
You think it all traces back to Blake?
I think it does, yeah. Because, like, it just hurts so bad. I didn't know what I was doing. I don't think I had the capacity to let him know, like, I like you. That's something that I didn't learn until I was older. I have 2 boys. I think it's just like how parents pass off fears to their kids, like spiders or snakes, things like that. I think when it comes to love, I don't want to pass my fears on to them because I don't want them to be broken or wounded as they get older. I guess in a way that's my road to redemption. If I can't get over it, least I could do is like show my boys, this is how you show someone you love them.
You gotta let Blake go.
I really do. It's been a long time. I'm ready to let it go now. Hey, Blake, it's Lauren. That girl with the long hair, that was weird. I really liked you, and I always thought you were a great guy. And just know that I'm sorry for what I did to you, and I hope you're doing okay.
I feel like it's out in the world now.
No.
You've released it.
Yeah. I never actually talked about it with anybody until now. I always kept it quiet because I didn't know who to trust with that.
I'm honored.
Well, thank you for giving me the chance to talk about it. Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm sorry for stabbing you with my number two.
My name is Ronnie, and this is my Valentine's Day near-death experience story. So it was Valentine's Day weekend, 2014, and my husband and my two sons and I arranged with friends to stay at their place to be able to go skiing. And this was a sort of a vacation property, so they didn't often use it. We picked up some food. We decided it was going to be quite a nice little evening of it before skiing on the following morning.
Like a Valentine's Day mini celebration.
A mini celebration. It happened to be on the same day that my husband was celebrating a milestone at work. So we thought that we would share this bottle of wine that we'd been saving for a number of years. It was our first plus $50 bottle of wine ever. So it was supposed to be monumental.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you had this very special bottle of wine.
So we sit down to start our dinner and we open up the bottle of wine, have our first few sips, and all of a sudden, this alarm starts going off. We think, oh my goodness, what's going on? So we check the alarm and it looks like an ordinary smoke detector. And we sort of press the hush button and continue eating.
Let's ignore that. How much wine had you had by then?
We honestly had not even finished one glass. Like it was really quite early days. So the alarm went off again. And I said, well, this is really weird. We then contacted our friends whose house it was and said, you know, this smoke detector is going off. Should we be concerned? And the man said, oh, no, don't even worry about it. Probably just the batteries are dead. So we took out the batteries. We went about continuing our dinner. And after maybe about a half an hour, I'm really feeling kind of odd. I feel a little bit dizzy. My stomach is feeling a little bit upset. Is anybody else feeling this way? And my husband and my two sons say, no, everything's fine. I don't, you know, maybe you're just under the weather. So I say to them, I'm going to go lie down. And you know those dreams you have where the hallway just seems to get longer and longer the more you walk? And honestly, it was probably a 5-step hallway, but it seemed to take me forever. And I lay down in bed. Maybe another 20 minutes go by when I hear my younger son and he says, I don't feel so well. He stands up and almost passes out. And my husband kind of clues in, wait a second, maybe there is something going on here. And he quickly says to my older son, hurry and yell to mom to call 911.
Oh my God.
They ask if I want fire, ambulance, or police. And I said, I have no idea. I think we've been poisoned. The fire trucks all arrive. We are immediately ushered into an ambulance where we are told that our blood oxygen levels are all at like 20%. We had mostly carbon monoxide in our lungs.
Wow.
We had no idea that it is obviously a carbon monoxide detector that had in fact warned us, but we didn't know. And the fire chief just kept saying, you know, we would have been pulling you out feet first if you hadn't, you know, figured things out.
Oh my God. So terrifying.
Yes. It still gives me shivers thinking about the fact that, you know, all four of us could have been completely gone in one night. It's now become a tradition to have a nice bottle of wine, not because it's Valentine's Day, but it's Yay, We Didn't Die Day. I believe my younger son is going to be coming home from university. The other one's currently staying with us. So we'll probably have a lovely dinner with the four of us sharing a bottle of wine now.
Don't forget to let it breathe.
I'll let it breathe, and I'll make sure that it's breathing oxygen. Roses are red, my shoelaces are tied. On Valentine's Day, my family almost died.
Thank you to everybody who shared a story with us, and I'm very glad everyone made it out okay. If you have a question you cannot find an answer to, you've gone down the rabbit hole and haven't gotten anywhere, call us, 833-RING-ELT, 833-RING-ELT. Happy Valentine's Day.
This episode was produced by Jahi Whitehead, Adley Robinson, Stephanie Werner, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Doug Barron and Nicole Pasulka. Our editors are Jorge Just and Caitlin Kenny, scored by Dara Hirsch, Bobby Lord, Billy Libby, Emma Munger, and So Wiley, mixed by Dara Hirsch. Roses are red, violets are green. Am I a man or a machine? Goodbye.